This is the Mueller Report. I'm Milena Balbo. Welcome to episode 8 of this reading of the Mueller Report. We're getting closer to the end of volume 1 of the special counsel's report, and this 8th episode is the third narration so far, covering section 4 of that volume, Russian government links to and contacts with the Trump campaign. In this episode, we'll continue with part A, which covers the campaign period as defined September 2015 through Election Day, November 8, 2016. This narration will cover sections 5, 6, and 7. Section 5, June 9, 2016 meeting at Trump Tower, discusses the now infamous Trump Tower meeting between members of the Trump campaign and Russian representatives. Section 6, events at the Republican National Convention, covers the campaign presence at the RNC in July 2016 and their input or involvement, if you will, with the party's platform change regarding the U.S. foreign policy toward Russia and Ukraine. And lastly, Section 7, post-convention contacts with Kislyak, outline the contact between Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak and members of the Trump campaign in the months following the RNC. There's very little redaction in these sections, and what there is has been labeled under the grand jury testimony restriction. So I suppose eventually we may find out something about what's hidden in these pages. So now, after a short break, we'll get right back to the report. Five, June 9, 2016 meeting at Trump Tower. On June 9, 2016, senior representatives of the Trump campaign met in Trump Tower with a Russian attorney expecting to receive derogatory information about Hillary Clinton from the Russian government. The meeting was proposed to Donald Trump Jr. in an email from Robert Goldstone at the request of his then-client, Emin Agalarov, the son of Russian real estate developer Aris Agalarov. Goldstone relayed to Trump Jr. that the, quote, Crown Prosecutor of Russia offered to provide the Trump campaign with some official documents and information that would incriminate Hillary and her dealings with Russia, close quote, as, quote, part of Russia and its government support for Mr. Trump, close quote. Trump Jr. immediately responded that, quote, if it's what you say, I love it, close quote, and arranged the meeting through a series of emails and telephone calls. Trump Jr. invited campaign chairman Paul Manafort and senior advisor Jared Kushner to attend the meeting, and both attended. Members of the campaign discussed the meeting before it occurred, and Michael Cohen recalled that Trump Jr. may have told candidate Trump about an upcoming meeting to receive adverse information about Clinton without linking the meeting to Russia. According to written answers submitted by President Trump, he has no recollection of learning of the meeting at the time, and the office found no documentary evidence showing that he was made aware of the meeting or its Russian connection before it occurred. The Russian attorney who spoke at the meeting, Natalia Veselnitskaya, had previously worked for the Russian government and maintained a relationship with that government throughout this period of time. She claimed that funds derived from illegal activities in Russia were provided to Hillary Clinton and other Democrats. Trump Jr. requested evidence to support those claims, but Veselnitskaya did not provide such information. She and her associates then turned to a critique of the origins of the Magnitsky Act, a 2012 statute that imposed financial and travel sanctions on Russian officials that resulted in a retaliatory ban on adoptions of Russian children. Trump Jr. suggested that the issue could be revisited when and if candidate Trump was elected. After the election, Veselnitskaya made additional efforts to follow up on the meeting, but the Trump transition team did not engage. A. Setting up the June 9 meeting. 1. Outreach to Donald Trump Jr. Aris Agalarov is a Russian real estate developer with ties to Putin and other members of the Russian government, including Russia's prosecutor general, Yuri Chaika. Aris Agalarov is the president of the Crocus Group, a Russian enterprise that holds substantial Russian government construction contracts, and that, as discussed above, Volume 1, Section 4A1, Supra, worked with Trump in connection with the 2013 Miss Universe pageant in Moscow and a potential Trump-Moscow real estate project. The relationship continued over time as the parties pursued the Trump-Moscow project in 2013-2014 and exchanged gifts and letters in 2016. For example, in April 2016, Trump responded to a letter from Aris Agalarov with a handwritten note. Aris Agalarov expressed interest in Trump's campaign, passed on, quote, congratulations for winning in the primary, and, according to one email drafted by Goldstone, an offer of his, quote, support and that of many of his important Russian friends and colleagues, especially with reference to U.S.-Russian relations, close quote. On June 3, 2016, Emin Agalarov called Goldstone, the Emin's then publicist. Goldstone is a music and events promoter who represented Emin Agalarov from approximately late 2012 until late 2016. While representing Emin Agalarov, Goldstone facilitated the ongoing contact between the Trumps and the Agalarovs, including an invitation that Trump sent to Putin to attend the 2013 Miss Universe pageant in Moscow. The next 2.5 lines approximately have been redacted for grand jury testimony. Goldstone understood. The next half a line has been redacted for grand jury testimony. A Russian political connection, and Emin Agalarov indicated that the attorney was a prosecutor. Goldstone recalled that the information that might interest the Trumps involved Hillary Clinton. The rest of the paragraph, approximately 2 lines, has been redacted for grand jury testimony. The next several words have been redacted for grand jury testimony. Mentioned by Emin Agalarov was Natalia Veselnitskaya. From approximately 1998 until 2001, Veselnitskaya worked as a prosecutor for the Central Administrative District of the Russian Prosecutor's Office, and she continued to perform government-related work and maintain ties to the Russian government following her departure. She lobbied and testified about the Magnitsky Act, which imposed financial sanctions and travel restrictions on Russian officials, and which was named for a Russian tax specialist who exposed a fraud and later died in a Russian prison. Putin called the statute, quote, a purely political unfriendly act, and Russia responded by barring a list of current and former U.S. officials from entering Russia and by halting the adoption of Russian children by U.S. citizens. Veselnitskaya performed legal work for Denis Katsiv, the son of Russian businessman Peter Katsiv, and for his company, Prevazon Holdings Limited, which was a defendant in a civil forfeiture action alleging the laundering of proceeds from the fraud exposed by Magnitsky. She also appears to have been involved in an April 2016 approach to a U.S. congressional delegation in Moscow, offering, quote, confidential information from, quote, the Prosecutor General of Russia about, quote, interactions between certain political forces in our two countries. Shortly after his June 3rd call with Emin Agalarov, Goldstone emailed Trump. The email stated, good morning. Emin just called and asked me to contact you with something very interesting. The Crown Prosecutor of Russia met with his father, Aris, this morning and in their meeting offered to provide the Trump campaign with some official documents and information that would incriminate Hillary and her dealings with Russia and would be very useful to your father. This is obviously very high-level and sensitive information, but is part of Russia and its government's support for Mr. Trump, helped along by Aris and Emin. What do you think is the best way to handle this information, and would you be able to speak to Emin about it directly? I can also send this to your father via Rona, but it is ultra-sensitive, so wanted to send to you first. Best, Rob Goldstone. Within minutes of this email, Trump responded, emailing back, quote, "Thanks, Rob. I appreciate that. I am on the road at the moment, but perhaps I just speak to Emin first. Seems we have some time, and if it's what you say, I love it, especially later in the summer. Could we do a call first thing next week when I am back?" Close quote. Goldstone conveyed Trump Jr.'s interest to Emin Agalarov, emailing that Trump Jr., quote, "wants to speak personally on the issue," close quote. On June 6, 2016, Emin Agalarov asked Goldstone if there was, quote, "any news," and Goldstone explained that Trump Jr. was likely still traveling for the, quote, "final elections," where Trump will be, quote, "crowned the official nominee," close quote. On the same day, Goldstone again emailed Trump Jr. and asked when Trump Jr. was, quote, "free to talk with Emin about this Hillary info," close quote. Also on June 6, 2016, Aras Agalarov called Ike Kavalladze and asked him to attend a meeting in New York with the Trump Organization. Kavalladze is a Georgia-born naturalized U.S. citizen who worked in the United States for the Crocus Group and reported to Aras Agalarov. Kavalladze told the office that in a second phone call on June 6, 2016, Aras Agalarov asked Kavalladze if he knew anything about the Magnitsky Act, and Aras sent him a short synopsis for the meeting and Veselnitskaya's business card. According to Kavalladze, Aras Agalarov said the purpose for the meeting was to discuss the Magnitsky Act, and he asked Kavalladze to translate. 2. Awareness of the meeting within the campaign. On June 7, Goldstone emailed Trump Jr. and said that, quote, "Emin asked that I schedule a meeting with you and the Russian government attorney who is flying over from Moscow," close quote. Trump Jr. replied that Manafort, identified as the, quote, "campaign boss," Jared Kushner, and Trump Jr. would likely attend. Goldstone was surprised to learn that Trump Jr., Manafort, and Kushner would attend. Kavalladze, the next couple of words have been redacted for grand jury testimony, quote, "puzzled by the list of attendees and that he checked with one of Emin Agalarov's assistants, Roman Benyaminov, who said that the purpose of the meeting was for Veselnitskaya to convey, quote, negative information on Hillary Clinton," close quote. Benyaminov, however, stated that he did not recall having known or said that. Early on June 8, 2016, Kushner emailed his assistant, asking her to discuss a 3 p.m. meeting the following day with Trump Jr. Later that day, Trump Jr. forwarded the entirety of his email correspondence regarding the meeting with Goldstone to Manafort and Kushner under the subject line, quote, "forward, Russia Clinton, private and confidential," close quote. Adding a note that the, quote, "meeting got moved to 4 tomorrow at my offices," close quote. Kushner then sent his assistant a second email informing her that the, quote, "meeting with Don Jr. is 4 p.m. now," close quote. Manafort responded, quote, "see you then, P," close quote. Rick Gates, who was the deputy campaign chairman, stated during interviews with the office that in the days before June 9, 2016, Trump Jr. announced at a regular morning meeting of senior campaign staff and Trump family members that he had a lead on negative information about the Clinton Foundation. Gates believed that Trump Jr. said the information was coming from a group in Kyrgyzstan and that he was introduced to the group by a friend. Gates recalled that the meeting was attended by Trump Jr., Eric Trump, Paul Manafort, Hope Hicks, and, joining late, Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner. According to Gates, Manafort warned the group that the meeting would likely not yield vital information and they should be careful. Hicks denied any knowledge of the June 9 meeting before 2017, and Kushner did not recall if the planned June 9 meeting came up at all earlier that week. Michael Cohen recalled being in Donald J. Trump's office on June 6th or 7th when Trump Jr. told his father that a meeting to obtain adverse information about Clinton was going forward. Cohen did not recall Trump Jr. stating that the meeting was connected to Russia. From the tenor of the conversation, Cohen believed that Trump Jr. had previously discussed the meeting with his father, although Cohen was not involved in any such conversation. In an interview with the Senate Judiciary Committee, however, Trump Jr. stated that he did not inform his father about the emails or the upcoming meeting. Similarly, neither Manafort nor Kushner recalled anyone informing candidate Trump of the meeting, including Trump Jr. President Trump has stated to this office in written answers to questions that he has, quote, no recollection of learning at the time, close quote, that his son, Manafort, or, quote, Kushner was considering participating in a meeting in June 2016 concerning potentially negative information about Hillary Clinton, close quote. B. The events of June 9, 2016. 1. Arrangements for the meeting. Veselnitskaya was in New York on June 9, 2016 for appellate proceedings in the Prevazon civil forfeiture litigation. That day, Veselnitskaya called Rinat Akhmetshin, a Soviet-born U.S. lobbyist. The next several words have been redacted for grand jury testimony. And when she learned that he was in New York, invited him to lunch. Akhmetshin told the office that he had worked on issues related to the Magnitsky Act and had worked on the Prevazon litigation. Kavaladze and Anatoly Samocharnov, a Russian-born translator who had assisted Veselnitskaya with Magnitsky-related lobbying and the Prevazon case, also attended the lunch. The next several words have been redacted for grand jury testimony. Veselnitskaya said she was meeting, the next three quarters of a line have been redacted for grand jury testimony, and asked Akhmetshin what she should tell him. According to several participants in the lunch, Veselnitskaya showed Akhmetshin a document alleging financial misconduct by Bill Browder and the Ziff brothers, Americans with business in Russia, and those individuals subsequently making political donations to the DNC. The group then went to Trump Tower for the meeting. 2. Conduct of the meeting. Trump Jr., Manafort, and Kushner participated on the Trump side, while Kavaladze, Samocharnov, Akhmetshin, and Goldstone attended with Veselnitskaya. The office spoke to every participant except Veselnitskaya and Trump Jr., the latter of whom declined to be voluntarily interviewed by the office. The remainder of the paragraph, approximately two lines, has been redacted for grand jury testimony. The meeting lasted approximately 20 minutes. The next one and a half lines has been redacted for grand jury testimony. Goldstone recalled that Trump Jr. invited Veselnitskaya to begin, but did not say anything about the subject of the meeting. Participants agreed that Veselnitskaya stated that the Ziff brothers had broken Russian laws and had donated their profits to the DNC or the Clinton campaign. She asserted that the Ziff brothers had engaged in tax evasion and money laundering in both the United States and Russia. The next line has been redacted for grand jury testimony. According to Akhmetshin, Trump Jr. asked follow-up questions about how the alleged payments could be tied specifically to the Clinton campaign, but Veselnitskaya indicated that she could not trace the money once it entered the United States. Kavaladze similarly recalled that Trump Jr. asked what they have on Clinton, and Kushner became aggravated and asked, quote, what are we doing here? Akhmetshin then spoke about U.S. sanctions imposed under the Magnitsky Act and Russia's response prohibiting U.S. adoption of Russian children. Several participants recalled that Trump Jr. commented that Trump is a private citizen and there was nothing they could do at that time. Trump Jr. also said they could revisit the issue if and when they were in government. Notes that Manafort took on his phone reflect the general flow of the conversation, although not all of its details. At this point, footnote 734 reads as follows. Manafort's notes state, Bill Browder, Offshore Cyprus, 133M Shares, Companies, Not Invest, Loan, Value in Cyprus as Inter, Elisi, Active Sponsors of RNC, Browder Hired Joanna Glover, Tied into Cheney, Russian Adoption by American Families. End footnote. At some point in the meeting, Kushner sent an iMessage to Manafort, stating, quote, waste of time, followed immediately by two separate emails to assistants at Kushner Companies with requests that they call him to give him an excuse to leave. Samocharnov recalled that Kushner departed the meeting before it concluded. Veselnitskaya recalled the same when interviewed by the press in July 2017. Veselnitskaya's press interviews and written statements to Congress differ materially from other accounts. In a July 2017 press interview, Veselnitskaya claimed that she has no connection to the Russian government and had not referred to any derogatory information concerning the Clinton campaign when she met with Trump campaign officials. Veselnitskaya's November 2017 written submission to the Senate Judiciary Committee stated that the purpose of the June 9 meeting was not to connect with, quote, the Trump campaign, but rather to have a, quote, private meeting with Donald Trump Jr., a friend of my good acquaintance's son, on the matter of assisting me or my colleagues in informing the Congress members as to the criminal nature of manipulation and interference with the legislative activities of the U.S. Congress, close quote. In other words, Veselnitskaya claimed her focus was on Congress and not the campaign. No witness, however, recalled any reference to Congress during the meeting. Veselnitskaya also maintained that she, quote, attended the meeting as a lawyer of Denis Katsiv, the previously mentioned owner of Prevzon Holdings, but she did not, quote, introduce herself in this capacity. In a July 2017 television interview, Trump Jr. stated that while he had no way to gauge the reliability, credibility, or accuracy of what Goldstone had stated was the purpose of the meeting, if, quote, someone has information on our opponent, maybe this is something, I should hear them out, close quote. Trump Jr. further stated in September 2017 congressional testimony that he thought he should, quote, listen to what Rob and his colleagues had to say, close quote. Depending on what, if any, information was provided, Trump Jr. stated he could then, quote, consult with counsel to make an informed decision as to whether to give it any further consideration, close quote. After the June 9 meeting concluded, Goldstone apologized to Trump Jr. According to Goldstone, he told Trump Jr. the next two-thirds of a line have been redacted for grand jury testimony, and told Emin Agalarov in a phone call that the meeting was about adoption. The next 1.5 lines has been redacted for grand jury testimony. It also includes footnote 745, which reads, the first couple of words have been redacted, grand jury testimony. Then it states, the week after the June 9 meeting, a cybersecurity firm and the DNC announced the Russian hack of the DNC. See Volume 1, Section 3B2, Supra. The next 2.5 lines have been redacted, grand jury testimony. And one text message shows that shortly after the DNC announcement, Goldstone made comments connecting the DNC hacking announcement to the June 9 meeting. The next several words have been redacted for grand jury testimony. 6/14/16 email Goldstone to E. Agalarov and Kavaladze, 10:09 a.m. The investigation did not identify evidence connecting the events of the June 9 to the GRU's hack and dump operation. 6/14/16 email Goldstone to E. Agalarov. End footnote. Aris Agalarov asked Kavaladze to report in after the meeting. But before Kavaladze could call, Aris Agalarov called him. With Veselnitskaya next to him, Kavaladze reported that the meeting had gone well, but he later told Aras Agalarov that the meeting about the Magnitsky Act had been a waste of time because it was not with lawyers and they were, quote, preaching to the wrong crowd, close quote. At this point, footnote 748 reads, Kavaladze, 11-16-17, 302 at 8. Call records of Ike Kavaladze. The next several words are redacted grand jury testimony. On June 14, 2016, Kavaladze's teenage daughter emailed asking how the June 9 meeting had gone, and Kavaladze responded, quote, meeting was boring. The Russians did not have any bad info on Hillary, close quote. 6-14-16, email I, Kavaladze, to A, Kavaladze. The remainder of the line has been redacted for grand jury testimony. End footnote. C. Post-June 9 events. Veselnitskaya and Aras Agalarov made at least two unsuccessful attempts after the election to meet with Trump representatives to convey similar information about Browder and the Magnitsky Act. On November 23, 2016, Kavaladze emailed Goldstone about setting up another meeting, quote, with tea people, close quote, and sent a document bearing allegations similar to those conveyed on June 9. Kavaladze followed up with Goldstone, stating that, quote, Mr. A, which Goldstone understood to mean Aras Agalarov, called to ask about the meeting. Goldstone emailed the document to Rona Graf, saying that, quote, Aras Agalarov has asked me to pass on this document in the hope it can be passed on to the appropriate team. If needed, a lawyer representing the case is in New York currently and happy to meet with any member of his transition team, close quote. According to Goldstone, around January 2017, Kavaladze contacted him again to set up another meeting, but Goldstone did not make the request. The investigation did not identify evidence of the transition team following up. Participants in the June 9, 2016 meeting began receiving inquiries from attorneys representing the Trump Organization starting in approximately June 2017. On approximately June 2, 2017, Goldstone spoke with Alan Garten, general counsel of the Trump Organization, about his participation in the June 9 meeting. The same day, Goldstone emailed Veselnitskaya's name to Garten, identifying her as the, quote, woman who was the attorney who spoke at the meeting from Moscow, close quote. Later in June 2017, Goldstone participated in a lengthier call with Garten and Alan Futterfuss, outside counsel for the Trump Organization, and subsequently personal counsel for Trump Jr. On June 27, 2017, Goldstone emailed Emin Agalarov with the subject, quote, Trump attorneys, and stated that he was, quote, interviewed by attorneys, close quote, about the June 9 meeting who were, quote, concerned because it links Don Jr. to officials from Russia, which he has always denied meeting, close quote. Goldstone stressed that he, quote, did say at the time this was an awful idea and a terrible meeting, close quote. Emin Agalarov sent a screenshot of the message to Kavaladze. The June 9 meeting became public in July 2017. In a July 9, 2017 text message to Emin Agalarov, Goldstone wrote, quote, I made sure I kept you and your father out of this story, close quote. And, quote, if contacted, I can do a dance and keep you out of it, close quote. Goldstone added, quote, FBI now investigating, close quote, and, quote, I hope this favor was worth for your dad. It could blow up, close quote. On July 12, 2017, Emin Agalarov complained to Kavaladze that his father, Aras, quote, never listens, close quote, to him, and that their relationship, quote, with Mr. T has been thrown down the drain, close quote. The next month, Goldstone commented to Emin Agalarov about the volume of publicity the June 9 meeting had generated, stating that his, quote, reputation was basically destroyed by this dumb meeting, which your father insisted on, even though Ike and me told him would be bad news and not to do so, close quote. Goldstone added, quote, I am not able to respond out of courtesy to you and your father, so am painted as some mysterious link to Putin, close quote. After public reporting on the June 9 meeting began, representatives from the Trump Organization again reached out to participants. On July 10, 2017, Futterfast sent Goldstone an email with a proposed statement for Goldstone to issue, which read, quote, as the person who arranged the meeting, I can definitively state that the statements I have read by Donald Trump Jr. are 100% accurate. The meeting was a complete waste of time, and Don was never told Ms. Veselnitskaya's name prior to the meeting. Ms. Veselnitskaya mostly talked about the Magnitsky Act and Russian adoption laws, and the meeting lasted 20 to 30 minutes at most. There was never any follow-up, and nothing ever came of the meeting, close quote. The next couple of words have been redacted for grand jury testimony. The statement drafted by Trump Organization representatives was, the next several words have been redacted for grand jury testimony. He proposed a different statement, asserting that he had been asked, quote, by his client in Moscow, Emin Agalarov, to facilitate a meeting between a Russian attorney, Natalia Veselnitskaya, and Donald Trump Jr. The lawyer had apparently stated that she had some information regarding funding to the DNC from Russia, which she believed Mr. Trump Jr. might find interesting, close quote. Goldstone never released either statement. On the Russian end, there was also communications about what participants should say about the June 9 meeting. Specifically, the organization that hired Samocharnov, an anti-Magnitsky Act group controlled by Veselnitskaya and the owner of Prevazon, offered to pay $90,000 of Samocharnov's legal fees. At Veselnitskaya's request, the organization sent Samocharnov a transcript of a Veselnitskaya press interview, and Samocharnov understood that the organization would pay his legal fees only if he made statements consistent with Veselnitskaya's. Samocharnov declined, telling the office that he did not want to perjure himself. The individual who conveyed Veselnitskaya's request to Samocharnov stated that he did not expressly condition payment on following Veselnitskaya's answers, but, in hindsight, recognized that by sending the transcript, Samocharnov could have interpreted the offer of assistance to be conditioned on his not contradicting Veselnitskaya's account. Volume 2, Section 2G Infra discusses interactions between President Trump, Trump Jr., and others in June and July 2017 regarding the June 9 meeting. Six, events at the Republican National Convention. Trump campaign officials met with Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak during the week of the Republican National Convention. The evidence indicates that those interactions were brief and non-substantive. During platform committee meetings immediately before the convention, J.D. Gordon, a senior campaign advisor on policy and national security, diluted a proposed amendment to the Republican Party platform expressing support for providing, quote, lethal assistance to Ukraine in response to Russian aggression. Gordon requested that platform committee personnel revise the proposed amendment to state that only, quote, appropriate assistance be provided to Ukraine. The original sponsor of the, quote, lethal assistance amendment stated that Gordon told her, the sponsor, that he was on the phone with candidate Trump in connection with his request to dilute the language. Gordon denied making that statement to the sponsor, although he acknowledged it was possible he mentioned having previously spoken to the candidate about the subject matter. The investigation did not establish that Gordon spoke to or was directed by the candidate to make that proposal. Gordon said that he sought the change because he believed the proposed language was inconsistent with Trump's position on Ukraine. A. Ambassador Kislyak's encounters with Senator Sessions and J.D. Gordon the week of the RNC. In July 2016, Senator Sessions and Gordon spoke at the Global Partners in Diplomacy event, a conference co-sponsored by the State Department and the Heritage Foundation, held in Cleveland, Ohio, the same week as the Republican National Convention, RNC or Convention. Approximately 80 foreign ambassadors to the United States, including Kislyak, were invited to the conference. On July 20, 2016, Gordon and Sessions delivered their speeches at the conference. In his speech, Gordon stated in pertinent part that the United States should have better relations with Russia. During Sessions' speech, he took questions from the audience, one of which may have been asked by Kislyak. When the speeches concluded, several ambassadors lined up to greet the speakers. Gordon shook hands with Kislyak and reiterated that he had meant what he said in the speech about improving U.S.-Russia relations. Sessions separately spoke with between 6 and 12 ambassadors, including Kislyak. Although Sessions stated during interviews with the office that he had no specific recollection of what he discussed with Kislyak, he believed that the two spoke for only a few minutes and that they would have exchanged pleasantries and said some things about U.S.-Russia relations. Later that evening, Gordon attended a reception as part of the conference. Gordon ran into Kislyak as the two prepared plates of food, and they decided to sit at the same table to eat. They were joined at the table by the ambassadors from Azerbaijan and Kazakhstan and by Trump campaign advisor Carter Page. As they ate, Gordon and Kislyak talked for what Gordon estimated to have been 3 to 5 minutes, during which Gordon again mentioned that he meant what he said in his speech about improving U.S.-Russia relations. B. Change to Republican Party Platform. In preparation for the 2016 convention, foreign policy advisors to the Trump campaign, working with the Republican National Committee, reviewed the 2012 convention's foreign policy platform to identify divergence between the earlier platform and candidate Trump's positions. The campaign team discussed toning down language from the 2012 platform that identified Russia as the country's number one threat, given the candidate's belief that there needed to be better U.S. relations with Russia. The RNC platform committee sent the 2016 draft platform to the National Security and Defense Platform Subcommittee on July 10, 2016, the evening before its first meeting to propose amendments. Although only delegates could participate in formal discussions and vote on the platform, the Trump campaign could request changes, and members of the Trump campaign attended committee meetings. John Mashburn, the campaign's policy director, helped oversee the campaign's involvement in the platform committee meetings. He told the office that he directed campaign staff at the convention, including J.D. Gordon, to take a hands-off approach and only to challenge platform planks if they directly contradicted Trump's wishes. On July 11, 2016, Delegate Diana Denman submitted a proposed platform amendment that included provision of armed support for Ukraine. The amendment described Russia's, quote, ongoing military aggression, close quote, in Ukraine and announced, quote, support for, quote, maintaining and, if warranted, increasing sanctions against Russia until Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity are fully restored, close quote. And for, quote, providing lethal defensive weapons to Ukraine's armed forces and greater coordination with NATO on defense planning, close quote. Gordon reviewed the proposed platform changes, including Denman's. Gordon stated that he flagged this amendment because of Trump's stated position on Ukraine, which Gordon personally heard the candidate say at the March 31 foreign policy meeting, namely, that the Europeans should take primary responsibility for any assistance to Ukraine, that there should be improved U.S.-Russia relations, and that he did not want to start World War III over that region. Gordon told the office that Trump's statements on the campaign trail following the March meeting underscored those positions to the point where Gordon felt obliged to object to the proposed platform change and seek its dilution. On July 11, 2016, at a meeting of the National Security and Defense Platform Subcommittee, Denman offered her amendment. Gordon and another campaign staffer, Matt Miller, approached a committee co-chair and asked him to table the amendment to permit further discussion, Gordon's concern with the amendment was the language about providing, quote, lethal defense weapons to Ukraine, close quote. Miller did not have any independent basis to believe that this language contradicted Trump's views and relied on Gordon's recollection of the candidate's views. According to Denman, she spoke with Gordon and Matt Miller, and they told her that they had to clear the language and that Gordon was, quote, talking to New York, close quote. Denman told others that she was asked by the two Trump campaign staffers to strike, quote, lethal defense weapons, close quote, from the proposal, but that she refused. Denman recalled Gordon saying that he was on the phone with candidate Trump, but she was skeptical whether that was true. Gordon denied having told Denman that he was on the phone with Trump, although he acknowledged it was possible that he mentioned having previously spoken to the candidate about the subject matter. Gordon's phone records reveal a call to Sessions' office in Washington that afternoon, but do not include calls directly to a number associated with Trump. According to the president's written answers to the office's questions, he does not recall being involved in the change in language of the platform amendment. Gordon stated that he tried to reach Rick Dearborn, a senior foreign policy advisor, and Mashburn, the campaign policy director. Gordon stated that he connected with both of them. He could not recall if by phone or in person, and apprised them of the language he took issue with in the proposed amendment. Gordon recalled no objection by either Dearborn or Mashburn, and that all three campaign advisors supported the alternative formulation, quote, appropriate assistance. Dearborn recalled Gordon warning them about the amendment, but not weighing in because Gordon was more familiar with the campaign's foreign policy stance. Mashburn stated that Gordon reached him, and he told Gordon that Trump had not taken a stance on the issue and that the campaign should not intervene. When the amendment came up again in the committee's proceedings, the subcommittee changed the amendment by striking the, quote, lethal defense weapons, close quote, language, and replacing it with, quote, appropriate assistance, close quote. Gordon stated that he and the subcommittee co-chair ultimately agreed to replace the language about armed assistance with, quote, appropriate assistance, close quote. The subcommittee accordingly approved Denman's amendment, but with the term, quote, appropriate assistance, close quote. Gordon stated that, to his recollection, this was the only change sought by the campaign. Sam Clovis, the campaign's national co-chair and chief policy advisor, stated he was surprised by the change and did not believe it was in line with Trump's stance. Mashburn stated that when he saw the word, quote, appropriate assistance, close quote, he believed that Gordon had violated Mashburn's directive not to intervene. 7. Post-convention contacts with Kislyak. Ambassador Kislyak continued his efforts to interact with campaign officials with responsibility for the foreign policy portfolio, among them Sessions and Gordon, in the weeks after the convention. The office did not identify evidence in those interactions of coordination between the campaign and the Russian government. A. Ambassador Kislyak invites J.D. Gordon to breakfast at the ambassador's residence. On August 3, 2016, an official from the Embassy of the Russian Federation in the United States wrote to Gordon, quote, on behalf of, close quote, Ambassador Kislyak, inviting Gordon, quote, to have breakfast slash tea with the ambassador at his residence, close quote, in Washington, D.C., the following week. Gordon responded 5 days later to decline the invitation. He wrote, quote, these days are not optimal for us as we are busily knocking down a constant stream of false media stories while also preparing for the first debate with HRC. Hoped to take a rain check for another time when things quiet down a bit. Please pass along my regards to the ambassador. Close quote. The investigation did not identify evidence that Gordon made any other arrangements to meet or met with Kislyak after this email. B. Senator Sessions' September 2016 meeting with Ambassador Kislyak. Also in August 2016, a representative of the Russian embassy contacted Sessions' Senate office about setting up a meeting with Kislyak. At the time, Sessions was a member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and would meet with foreign officials in that capacity. But Sessions' staff reported, and Sessions himself acknowledged, that meeting requests from ambassadors increased substantially in 2016, as Sessions assumed a prominent role in the Trump campaign and his name was mentioned for potential cabinet-level positions in a future Trump administration. On September 8, 2016, Sessions met with Kislyak in his Senate office. Sessions said that he believed he was doing the campaign a service by meeting with foreign ambassadors, including Kislyak. He was accompanied in the meeting by at least two of his Senate staff, Sandra Luff, his legislative director, and Pete Landrum, who handled military affairs. The meeting lasted less than 30 minutes. Sessions voiced concerns about Russia's sale of missile defense systems to Iran, Russian planes buzzing U.S. military assets in the Middle East, and Russian aggression in emerging democracies such as Ukraine and Moldova. Kislyak offered explanations on these issues and complained about NATO land forces in former Soviet bloc countries that border Russia. Landrum recalled that Kislyak referred to the presidential campaign as, quote, an interesting campaign, close quote, and Sessions also recalled Kislyak saying that the Russian government was receptive to the overtures Trump had laid out during his campaign. None of the attendees, though, remembered any discussion of Russian election interference or any request that Sessions convey information from the Russian government to the Trump campaign. During the meeting, Kislyak invited Sessions to further discuss U.S.-Russia relations with him over a meal at the ambassador's residence. Sessions was noncommittal when Kislyak extended the invitation. After the meeting ended, Luff advised Sessions against accepting the one-on-one meeting with Kislyak, whom she assessed to be, quote, an old-school KGB guy, close quote. Neither Luff nor Landrum recalled that Sessions followed up on the invitation or made any further effort to dine or meet with Kislyak before the November 2016 election. Sessions and Landrum recalled that after the election, some efforts were made to arrange a meeting between Sessions and Kislyak. According to Sessions, the request came through CNI and would have involved a meeting between Sessions and Kislyak, two other ambassadors, and the governor of Alabama. Sessions, however, was in New York on the day of the anticipated meeting and was unable to attend. The investigation did not identify evidence that the two men met at any point after their September 8 meeting. That concludes the narration for episode 8. The Trump Tower meeting. There you have it. I don't think that it necessarily resulted in very much. But as I say that, I am keeping a couple of things in mind. First, everyone who was there seemed to know that it was not a great idea from the start. At least it seemed they knew that it was something that they should keep relatively secret. To me, that begs the question, well, if there's nothing wrong with it, then why keep it secret? Second, I don't think anybody really knows the results of what that meeting was in the end, because everyone there had something to lose by admitting that it was information about Clinton that was being offered and being sought. So it would not surprise me if when the parties testified to Mueller's office, they chose their language, let's just say very carefully. Insofar as the RNC is concerned, the platform on Russia for the Republican Party has been the same for years. And that language changed because the Trump campaign opposed it, obviously. So it's not illegal, but it seems that their input was unusual and unorthodox at best, and probably ill-advised, but again, all of this is just my opinion. So there's that. Our next episode will finally conclude part A of section 4 that covers the campaign period. I will narrate the last subsection, which is section 8, Paul Manafort. And as you might imagine, his section is a bit more meaty than those of the other campaign members that we had narrated in episodes earlier. So thanks for listening in today. Remember, you can always download a copy of the report on the podcast website, www.papertrailmedia.co/podcast. And if you're enjoying this narration, please feel free to leave a review wherever you listen to the Mueller Report, a reading. I'm Milena Balbo.